Well, the Browns confirming this morning they are talking with former Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel about their head coach opening. McDaniel fired by Miami last week after four seasons. McDaniel was the Browns' receivers coach way back in 2014. McDaniel also expected to soon interview for the openings with the Falcons, the Ravens, and the Titans. And we could find out today if the Browns have made the cut. Word is a former Ravens head coach John Harbaugh spent the weekend narrowing down the list of teams he will talk to about their openings. Now, nothing's official, but Jonathan Jones of CBSSports.com reports this morning that Harbaugh expected to chat with the Giants and the Falcons, and there's a chance he'll interview with the Browns and the Titans. Wildcard weekend in the NFL playoffs wrapping up tonight. Pittsburgh Steelers entertain the Houston Texans. The Steelers have lost six straight postseason games dating back to 2016. Meanwhile, the Texans close out the regular season, nine straight wins, but now they're going to try to do something they've never done before, win a playoff game on the road. They've never done that in franchise history, now with a record of 0-6. And the Cavaliers win against the Timberwolves back on Saturday. Cavaliers went with a three-guard lineup in the starting five, along with Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. Sam Merrill was in the starting lineup. Garland went... Merrill brings to that starting five for the one and gold.
Chaos. Chaos for the opposing team. No, he brings so much floor spacing, and the shooting ability that he has is insane. He causes a lot of confusion. You just never know where he's at.
Cavs back to work to entertain the Utah Jazz. Utah coming to town. Kevin Love will be with them and hopefully looking to bounce back after losing by 55 points at home to Charlotte back on Saturday. Wildcard weekend wrapping up tonight. Steelers and Texans live here on 92.3. The Fan. Coverage begins at 7:30. Headline sports news every 20 minutes right here on 92.3. The Fan. From the University Hospital Sports Desk, I'm Jeff Thomas.
The only place for Browns news on your way into work. The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima. Weekday mornings starting at 6 a.m. 92.3 The Fan.
Mike McDaniel in town. Okay. There's a former head coach interviewing for the Browns gig. Who else? John Harbaugh? According to what we hear, yep, that might be the case. I'm Jeff Phelps, Daryl Ryder, in for Andy today. We go to the Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright hotline, where we are joined by a man who was hoping he had seen the last of Daryl Ryder for a while. He's Mr. Scott Petrak from the Chronicle-Telegram, brownzone.com, where you can read all of Scott's coverage of the Browns coaching search. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Jeffrey. And that is not true about Daryl. Hi, Daryl.
Hello, Scott. That's very kind of you to say, and very awkward of Jeff to put you on the spot like that. Now I immediately regret not putting out the promo I wanted to on social media.
Yeah.
So Jeff last week was taking a selfie of the sweatshirt he was wearing. So I took a picture of Jeff taking said selfie, and I was going to put that out as the promo. Like, I'm in with this guy today. Wish me luck. I didn't do that because I like, respect,
nice
and admire
fella.
Jeff. And then you do that to me, to Scotty.
Well, I was wearing a Beaumont Golden Gators sweatshirt, and I was taking a picture to send to my buddy in Beaumont.
I know. I still have the photo on my phone.
Don't send that out. Scott, Mike McDaniel.
Mm-hmm.
First question, if I'm the Haslams. Mike, it's really good to see you. Why did you write the 32-point presentation as to why Kyle Shanahan should be let out of his gig?
Yeah, and I think he would say, well, Ray Farmer's not here anymore, so it's water under the bridge. I mean, that was, you know, when I reflect back on that, I can't believe it's been 11 years since then. But, you know, I think it was way more about Ray Farmer than it was the Haslams or the Browns organization. You know, Kyle Shanahan, I believe, felt forced to play Johnny Manziel and burdened with Johnny Manziel, and felt the Ray Farmer influence that was too much influence, right? The whole calling down to the sideline during games. So I think he just realized what was coming, and the organization's push to play Johnny, and wanted no piece of that. And Mike McDaniel was on board, and he's been buddies with Kyle forever and followed him to Atlanta and then followed him to San Francisco before he wound up in Miami. So, you know, I don't think that that's something that keeps Mike from taking this job, because I really do think it was, if not all, mostly about Ray Farmer.
Are there 32 reasons why Mike McDaniel should actually want this job?
Well, 32 is a lot.
Well, you know, there's a theme here, Scott.
Yeah. Does each million count is a reason? Because then you're probably up at 10 or 12, and that's, you know, that's a lot of reasons. They got really good defense. Yeah, you know, I don't know how many jobs are going to get offered to Mike McDaniel. I know that he's doing the interview circuit, and if he doesn't get a head job, then plenty of teams would want him as a coordinator because he's obviously a really smart offensive mind, and you see all the motions and the run game. You know, he's had a ton of success in the run game and, you know, a lot of the Kyle Shanahan ingredients that we've seen. But, you know, I think he gets looks across the league. It's tough for me when a guy gets fired. And we're seeing the same thing with Kevin Stefanski. Like, the Kevin Stefanski, Mike McDaniel resumes are not that different.
No.
Right? They're young guys, offensive minds, get jobs, have instant success. This is, success doesn't last. You're burdened with an injury-prone, highly paid quarterback. And then ownership goes, yeah, we can do better. So I think there's a bunch of reasons to be intrigued by McDaniel. I don't know if it's a slam dunk that he gets a head coaching job this season.
With that in mind, he's here, and according to Adam Schefter, John Harbaugh is considering the Browns. What do you think the likelihood is that Harbaugh ends up here? And again, I think the only thing that would bring him here is he's had a deep desire in his life to coach the Cleveland Browns based on family history.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other reason.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, I guess if there was a revenge factor, you wanted to play the Ravens twice a year.
Maybe.
You felt right. You wanted to be close to that and inside the division.
He doesn't strike me as that kind of a guy, that it would be overly motivated by that.
I agree. And, you know, he spent 18 years in Baltimore, and I think they were mostly good years, right? So I wouldn't get that from him either. I don't think that the Browns would be at or near the top of his list. I think they're just more attractive openings in this league, and it starts at quarterback. And, you know, there are reports this over the weekend that, you know, he was doing his scouting of Cam Ward and Jackson Dart. You know, you could throw Shedeur Sanders in that mix with the Browns, but Sanders did not play as well as those other two guys.
No.
And he obviously wasn't nearly as high a draft pick as those other two guys. So it seems like a stretch to me. I don't know what the Browns' selling point would be, except, you know, you had a great defense and, you know, you got the 6th pick and the 24th pick, and we'll figure out a quarterback. I think it's just difficult from where the Browns are. And Andrew Berry, you know, if you reread re-listen to his press conference from a week ago, he talks about finding a coach that fits where the Browns are in this transition period. And I don't think that jives with where John Harbaugh is, right? John Harbaugh is 63. I'm sure he wants to win right now. Like, the Ravens were a Super Bowl favorite before the season. I don't know if he's interested in coming to a place where there's uncertainty at quarterback and you don't know exactly when that quote-unquote Super Bowl window opens. So I think it's a tougher sell for an established coach like that versus an unproven coordinator. And, you know, maybe the Browns change their timetable if they could get a guy like Harbaugh and they go all in on quarterback X, whatever that would be. And I'm fine with that. But where their thought process was a week ago, it just doesn't seem like that's a great fit for where Harbaugh is.
Scott, we're about up to 12 different names that have been tied to this job. Either the Browns have interviewed, are interested in interviewing, have scheduled interviews with. How many of them, though, do you think, because as you know, these things are also fact-finding missions as well as, you know, coordinator interviews too. How many of these do you think are of the potential coordinator interview type disguised as head coach interviews?
Yeah, I think, first of all, when you think about Andrew Berry, I do think he's a due diligence, cast a wide net. That's just how he thinks. And, you know, I think he's probably always thought like that, but it was reinforced or taught to him by Paul DePodesta. That's how he ran his searches. So I think they're just identifying as many capable candidates as possible. Now, do I think there's three or four of those guys that they would hope that, man, if we interview this guy, maybe he winds up a coordinator. If we don't love him as a head coach, we don't think he's ready to be the head coach right now. Yeah, I think there's you know, at least, I mean, I don't know, three or four of those guys that could move up into that spot for the Browns. But I think at the crux is Andrew Berry is trying to talk to as many mostly young, smart candidates across the league, and then they'll kind of figure out what role fits best. But I don't think they're ruling out anybody for the head coach. But yeah, could it be secondary with a guy like Nate Shalosh, or however you pronounce his name? Sure.
With that in mind, that's the lead story on your website right now, brownzone.com. Browns interviewing or requesting an interview with the passing game coordinator, Nate Shalosh. Let's go with that for now. Yeah. Right. Of the Rams. He's a really young dude. This leads me to think, do they have a Jim Schwartz dilemma here? If Jay Glazer's report is right, that the Browns are telling all candidates that we want to keep Jim Schwartz as the defensive coordinator, why don't you just hire Jim Schwartz then?
I do think they have a Schwartz dilemma. I don't think it's a good process to tell coaches that in the interviews. I guess it depends on how forcefully you say it. You know, if it's, hey, if you're open to it, we love Jim Schwartz. We love where our defense is. We're not going to force you to do it, but, you know, we think this guy is the right coordinator for this unit, and obviously they were really good this year. I don't think you can – I have a really hard time forcing that on a new coach. I just think it sets up – it just sets up poorly, because then is there resentment as a coach as soon as the defense struggles? Is the coach like, man, this wasn't my guy anyway? Is there conflict? You know, Jim Schwartz has a strong personality. Does he get along with everybody? You know, I just think it's a tough spot to put a coach in. I'm not saying it can't work. I don't think I would mandate it. And, you know, last week Andrew Berry said he wouldn't mandate it, but maybe privately he is. So I think it's a tough spot. And when it comes back to should Schwartz just be the head coach, I would still say that that's the most likely scenario, because we know the Browns don't want to lose him. And could you find an offensive coordinator, whether it's Tommy Rees or one of these other young guys that you're interviewing, to fit with Jim Schwartz? And it feels like, you know, you have some sense of stability and continuity by keeping Jim Schwartz. You keep the defensive staff. You keep the best part of your team. I'm not saying I love that strategy, because if you're going to make big changes after winning 8 games over 2 years, maybe you should make big, big changes. But I feel like this process is leaning in that direction for all the reasons you mentioned.
Is it a tough spot to put Jim Schwartz in?
Not if he gets the job, it's not. But if you ask Jim to stay as defense coordinator after interviewing him for the head job and giving it to somebody else, then yeah, I think that is a tough spot. And I don't know what the talks that Andrew Berry and Jimmy Haslam have had with Jim Schwartz behind the scenes. But I think it's difficult to ask Jim Schwartz to just stay regardless of who the next coach would be. And I could certainly see a scenario where Jim goes, well, I could go coach with Kevin Stefanski somewhere else. I could go coach with, you know, whoever else, somewhere else, where, you know, I mean, maybe he goes to New England and coaches under Mike Vrabel, right? They had some issues, some health issues with their defensive coordinator. Jim Schwartz would have opportunities to be a defensive coordinator somewhere else. And if he didn't like the way this whole head coach search played out, I think he could make it known and make it difficult that, hey, even if I'm under contract, I don't want to be here. And that creates just a bad situation inside the organization.
All right, since you gave us who you think your favorite is, I'll give you mine, Scott, and tell me what you think of this. I think they're going to hire Dan Pitcher, the Bengals OC. He doesn't call plays, mm-hmm. but you keep Jim Schwartz, and then you hire Todd Monken to come back and be the offensive coordinator. I think that's just my theory, just looking at who they've talked to, how they've gone about this process, listening to what Andrew said. Do you think something like that, where they keep Jim, they hire an unproven offensive-minded head coach, and pair him with an experienced offensive coordinator, do you think that is a path that could lead to success for the Browns?
I think it could. I certainly think I think Pitcher's a legitimate candidate here. I could see pairing him with Jim Schwartz. I struggle a little bit, Darryl, with bringing in the veteran offensive coordinator then? Because pitcher obviously knows what he's looking for in an offense. I know he hasn't called plays and it's Zach Taylor's offense.
Right.
But, you know, do his philosophies mesh with a Todd Monken or whoever else that guy would be?
Right.
You know, are they on the same page? Would he want a chance to call plays for the first time? He's like, hey, now I'm the head coach. I'm going to call the plays. I think that
worked
those
well
things
for Kevin.
Have to be worked through. Right? Not, well, I mean, it did for a while.
For a while.
They went to the playoffs twice. People keep forgetting that.
Yeah.
So I just think that would be a dynamic that would have to, in a relationship that would have to be worked through. You know, and you interview Todd Monken for the head job, and they go, hey, no, now we're going to put you as the coordinator under a guy that's never been a head coach or never called plays before. I don't know how that dynamic works. I understand what you're saying, and I think that would be best for the organization is to find somebody like that. I'm not convinced that Todd Monken would be the right guy in that setup.
Scott, thank you, buddy. Good luck through the entire search, because I know you and Daryl and everybody else who covers the team for a living will be very busy.
Thanks, fellas.
Hang in. Brownzone.com, where you can read all of Scott's work. Does a great job for the Chronicle-Telegram. And
what number is going to be higher, Jeff? Holes of golf he plays or number of head coaches the Browns interview?
How many? What's the time frame on the holes of golf?
Within the framework of the coaching search.
I hope it'll be more coaches. He joined us on the Make It Right Call Kyle Wright hotline. Dan Menigan. You all right? Oh, Dan's good. He was standing right in front of the microphone. I thought he had breaking news for us.
I was going to make a smart Alex Scott Petrak comment. I was going to say holes golfed in March. I think it's going to be higher than head coaches.
That very well might be the case, actually.
Scott would be out there today, I think, if it was up to him.
If you're a head coach candidate here in Cleveland, do you want to be tied to Jim Schwartz? Let me say this as well. Do you want to be tied to the quarterbacks who are here? There's some stuff about the quarterbacks that are out that you might not like, Browns fans, especially if you're a fan of one of them more than the other. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan.